Now, last week, we looked at one of the keys of the victorious Christian life, and that is simply obedience. Jesus wants us to obey his word. And we saw that that is actually one of the keys to finding true happiness, to finding knowledge in God's word, to finding the blessings of the Lord and so forth. And here in this passage, we find what I believe to be a second key to the Christian life, and that is sacrifice. The honest truth is most Christians don't really know what that word means in the Western world. Now, many Christians in other parts of the world, we read about them often on Sunday mornings. They know what it means to sacrifice for Jesus, sometimes their own lives. Sometimes they lose limbs. Sometimes they lose family members for Jesus. But Jesus here, commending sacrifice. Never once in the New Testament did Jesus rebuke someone or put them down for sacrificing for him. But he often commended it, which teaches us something. So here in verse 36, we'll start of Luke 7. It says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and to wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which was bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Our title today is She Loved Much. Let's pray. Our Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word and for the privilege we have to assemble around it and hear from it through the Holy Spirit, and pray now that you would apply it to our hearts. Speak to us each personally about this matter of sacrifice. And Lord, I pray that we would get it today. We would understand what you're asking of us. And Lord, we'd be excited to participate. So have your will and way in our lives. In our hearts, if there's someone in our service not saved, may they see their need for Christ today. We pray this in his wonderful name. Amen. We see in this passage, Jesus was a friend of sinners. Amen. Praise God for that. If you go to Matthew 26, the parallel passage, verses 6 and 7, we find a little bit more about this man, Simon. Not only was he a Pharisee, but here in Matthew 26, we find out that he was also a leper. Notice Matthew chapter 26, verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. So we see here that this Simon, this Pharisee that Jesus went to his house to eat, was also a leper. And I would say that would show us that Jesus is definitely a friend of sinners. The Pharisees were rebuked by Christ more than any other group. And yet he chose to sit down and have a meal with this Pharisee who was also a leper. But then he also allowed this woman, who the community looked at as a sinner, We can only assume that she was most likely a prostitute. But he allowed her to anoint his body, his death and burial are very close now. We're at the end of his ministry pretty much. And he allowed her to touch him, to kiss his feet, to wash his feet with her tears and her hair and so forth. And she was willing, if you will, to show her devotion to Jesus Christ through her sacrifice. Now here in Luke, we only see that it was an alabaster box, but like we just read in Matthew, the Bible says it was very precious. And if you look in Mark 14, another parallel passage, let's turn over there quickly. Mark 14, verse 5, this event was recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so here in Mark 14, verse 5, we find out a little bit more about this alabaster box of ointment. The Bible says here in Mark 14, 5, "For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor." Now, typically in Bible days, a pence was a day's wage. So this would have been basically a year's wage worth of ointment, just to give you some context. So probably the average wage is, what, 50,000 maybe in New Zealand? So it'd be like a $50,000 gift given to Jesus. And if she was a prostitute, she definitely wasn't wealthy. But she was willing to show her devotion to Jesus Christ through this amazing sacrifice of a year's wages worth of ointment. And that obviously didn't bother her a bit. What mattered to her was Jesus. And we see this humility in her, that she was kissing his feet, which in Bible days and in prior to Bible days was a sign of ultimate humility. You know, when countries would go to war and one would beat another, and the losing king, one of the things he would be required to do is to kiss the feet of the winning king, which was a way of showing, you won, I lost. I'm completely humble before you. My life is in your hands. If you're going to kill me, then kill me. So we see this humility. We see this sacrifice from this woman. And it is amazing that someone would do something so sacrificial for Jesus and get criticized for it. And I guess that's my first point this morning, is if you choose to sacrifice for Jesus, which again, most Christians don't really know what that means, you may even have others look down on you, criticize you, say you've lost your mind. How can you give so much to Jesus? And we're not just talking money here, but we're talking sacrifice. That may happen. Because as we saw there, Mark, some of the people murmur and say, well, this money could have been given to the poor. And instead she wasted it on Jesus. And others said, well, she's a sinner. Jesus shouldn't have allowed her to touch him. But beware if you say, that's it, Jesus is everything, I'm going to give my all to him. You may have others look down on you and even criticize you for going too far, if you will. Is it possible to go too far for Jesus? I don't know. I doubt it. There was a woman in the Bible as well, Mark chapter 12, if you want to turn there. Another woman that Jesus used to give us a lesson from. And it says here in Mark 14 down in verse 42, or sorry, Mark 12 down in verse 42. There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. I'd call that sacrifice. It wasn't a lot of money, but Jesus knew her because he knew everything. And rather than say, oh, she went overboard, rather than say she gave too much, We need to give back some. Rather than criticize her, she commended her and used her as an illustration of someone willing to sacrifice for Jesus, even all her living. And she did it, if you read the context, she did it quietly. She wasn't trying to make a show of it. She hid it in a napkin and just snuck up to the thing and dropped it in. It's only because Jesus knew what was going on that he was able to point this out to the disciples. Say, look what this woman did. She gave everything that she had. And Jesus chose to stop and teach the disciples a lesson about sacrifice. About sacrifice. And that's what this whole passage is about. Verse 43 of our passage in Luke 7. Simon answered and said, after Jesus told him this parable of the man that owed 500, the man that owed 50, he said in verse 42, which one will love him most? And he said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. You know, Christians that are willing to sacrifice for Jesus don't forget what he's done for us. That he rescued us from hell. That he gave us eternal life. That he promised us a home in heaven. To whom he forgave most. Now Jesus is making a point, isn't he? None of us in here could say, well, Jesus only forgave me little. We would all say, no, Jesus forgave me a lot. Thousands and thousands of sins, if not millions. And you know, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And sometimes we can forget that Jesus has done so much for us. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Christ has done so much for us. Go to 2 Corinthians 1:3. And so not only are we... have the potential of someone criticizing us, but we must be careful that we don't forget what Jesus has done for us. 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. I love that. If you're saved today, you've been saved by the Father of mercies. His mercies, they fail not. Amen. We sing that in Great is Thy Faithfulness from Lamentations chapter 3. So we must be willing to sacrifice for Jesus in accordance with what he has done for us. Has he forgiven us little or has he forgiven us much? And Jesus in verse 43 said, thou hast rightly judged. You're right, Simon. Simon the leper, Simon the Pharisee. Simon, the one that took me for granted, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is having dinner with you. You didn't even offer to for me to wash my feet. You didn't do anything. You just said, here, have a seat. You didn't treat me with royalty or respect like I deserve, that this woman did. And so, yes, Simon, you've rightly judged my little parable. The one that was forgiven most is the one that will love the most. And he turned to the woman, verse 44, and said, Simon, see, it says, this woman, I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. Aren't you glad you're not Simon? Can you imagine having Jesus for dinner? And he takes the opportunity to use you as an object lesson and then write it down in a book that's going to last forever. An object lesson of how not to treat Jesus. She hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. Why? That was the tradition of the day, is to greet one another with a holy kiss. Why didn't he greet Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings, with a kiss? This woman, since I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. Why? Because you took me for granted, Simon. And if we're not careful, we'll do the same. And Jesus is teaching us that he is worth it. He is worthy of sacrifice. Does the Bible command us to sacrifice? Of course. Most of us know Romans 12:1, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. We are to be constantly grateful for what Jesus has done for us and never take the Lord and what he's done for us for granted. He says in verse 47, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Her sins, which are many. Who would that be? That'd be all of us. Amen. Look at Colossians 2:13. God tells us how many of your sins he's forgiven. And aren't you thankful that you don't have to stand before God at the great white throne if you're born again and have God open the books and have him judge you out of those books according to everything you've ever done? Praise God for his forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ in Calvary. But notice Colossians 2:13, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Hallelujah. If you're born again, he has forgiven you much. So much, I'm sure we won't know until we get to heaven. Or maybe we'll never know how much, how many sins were forgiven. But it was definitely much. And look what Jesus says in verse 47. She loved much. How did Jesus know this? How was Jesus able to make this statement? She loved much. Based on what? Based on how she felt in her heart? No. He is basing this on what she did. And so you've heard me say many times, love is action. Well, so is sacrifice. Jesus was able to look at her behavior, to look at the sacrifice she was willing to make with the 300 pence worth of ointment, her willingness to humble herself completely and kiss his feet and wash his feet with her hair and their tears, and say, based on that, she loved much. And I believe this is another one of the keys of the Christian life, is a willingness to say, I love Jesus much, but to make that evident by your willingness to sacrifice much. And whatever that might be, God will show you. As we read or mentioned in Romans 12:1, where I'd be a living sacrifice. But look at 1 Peter 2:5, and we'll see that God expects us to offer up sacrifices to him. What better time to think about that than Christmas time, when the wise men were willing to make sacrifices to the little baby because they knew who he was. They knew he was the one. 1 Peter 2:5, he also has lively stones are built up at spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. This woman was willing to do whatever it took to show her devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. The 300 pence meant nothing to her. What matters is she was in the presence of royalty. And she was willing to do whatever it took. And they looked down on her for it. Why? Because Simon took Jesus for granted. And Jesus was able to say, I know she loved much because I can see it in her behavior. I can see it in her willingness to sacrifice. But Jesus says here in verse 47, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Simon, a leper, a Pharisee, you think he needed some help? You know, Jesus, when rebuking the church in Revelation 2, what did he say? Thou hast left thy first love. How many Christians take Jesus for granted? In Luke 17, turn there if you would, we have the story of the 10 lepers. Talk about taking Jesus for granted. We won't read the whole story, but look at verse 17:17 of Luke. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. These men got healed from the worst disease of the day. If you were a leper, that's it. You had to be ostracized from society because it was so contagious. And it literally ate your flesh away until you died. And Jesus healed all 10 of them. Only one turned around to say thank you. Can you imagine? Talk about taking Jesus for granted. And yet, don't we do the same when we're not willing to sacrifice for Jesus? Aren't we really saying that we are taking Jesus for granted? Go to 2 Peter 1:9 and we'll see that God talks about this. And so when it comes to this matter of devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, we just need to look at our own Christian lives. Do I pray less than I used to? Am I in the Word of God less than I used to be? Am I not as faithful to church as I used to be? Do I not witness as often as I used to? Do I worry more or complain more? Do I serve the Lord less? Have I stopped forgiving? Do I gossip more? Am I more worldly? And we could go on and on from our list from last week, but am I 100% devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or have I begun to take Him for granted and forget what He's done for me? 2 Peter 1:9, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. How? How could we forget what Jesus has done for us? But what Jesus is saying is that if we're not willing, like this woman, to say Jesus is everything and I'm going to give Him everything, then we're taking Him for granted. And we are like this person here, 2 Peter 1:9, where we have forgotten what God has done for us. And we could spend the rest of the day talking about all that God has done for us. Amen? The forgiveness, the blessings, His presence, His Word, heaven, and on we could go. He's so good. And He took the opportunity. He could have just let the woman do what she did and stop, but no. He took the opportunity to teach His disciples and thereby us a beautiful lesson. And said, I am going to declare to you, gentlemen, that based on this woman's behavior, she loved much. That love, in this case, was displayed through her actions, through her sacrifice. A year's wages, that's pretty good. That's pretty big, isn't it? Imagine that. You know, in modern day terms, if Jesus came to town and needed transport, it'd be like offering Him a $50,000 or $60,000 car. Here, you can have it, Jesus. It's yours. Because I love you. You did everything for me. It's nothing. That's basically what that woman did. It's what the widow did. She said, I don't care. I love God. She loved much. And Jesus obviously loves us and has saved us, but He also watches us and expects us, like we talked last week, to be good stewards, to be servants, to be soldiers for Him. And He's watching, and we will give account, like we talked Wednesday night. Were we willing to love much? As evidenced by our willingness to sacrifice for Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love You. But may we not just say that, but may we show it. As we talked last week, through our obedience, but as we've seen this week, through our willingness to sacrifice for Thee. Lord, sometimes we are just so selfish and so self-centered. We lose sight of what we have in You and what we have waiting for us in heaven. We get so caught up in the things of this world. I pray that we would maybe refocus ourselves on the fact that You are everything and You are worthy of everything. And be willing, like this woman, to not care what others think, but be willing to sacrifice for You because we love You. So thank You for speaking to our hearts. Continue to do so through this passage. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.